Hey, everybody. This week on the Doghouse, I have no idea what we're going to talk about in the news section because I didn't ask Warren before we started.
Stuff.
But we will be talking about some MMA pro flat track. Ooh, I almost said pro fro track. But I don't even know if anybody in the AMA got a fro. And we will be talking some MotoGP at Sessionring in Germany. And we got a little bit of motocross news, even though they didn't race this week. So we're going to start the show right about now. Welcome back to the Doghouse here on NTNRadio.com. New show. Of course, we're flying the Missing Man. We're flying the Missing Man Formation Foundation.
You're having trouble tonight.
Struggling today. I probably had too many friendly libations this weekend.
And it's still hanging on?
Might be. I don't know. Anyways, Ken's not here. He's out gallivanting and showing people a good time in the city of Manassas, I guess.
Is that possible?
I don't know. I've had good times in Manassas. You know, the guilty ones with their naughty house contest is in Manassas. So I have had good times
there.
In Manassas. So he's out there doing what he does, schmoozing and whatever. I actually spend a little bit of time with family. And so you got Warren and me here. And, of course, Ali Durka on the board, where I just found out he got a great nuclear arms deal today.
Yes,
so
he did.
Congratulations for you. Yay!
Yeah. He's able to get yellow cake in his basement now, and you know, 6 months from now, you will.
He walked into the studio and he went, so I was like, I understand. So that's how we get hated in foreign countries.
We need to really stop that.
It's all right. I don't care anymore. This is America. So that's all I care about right now. Warren, you do anything exciting this weekend?
No.
Me neither.
I mowed the yard. That's about as exciting as it got.
I had some family come visit. I watched a little bit of baseball, and that was about all I did this weekend.
I did have one little exciting thing. It surprised the hell out of me more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I went to Buffalo Wild Wings, which is just, you know, for people not in the U.S., it's just a
crappy
wing
restaurant,
store.
But they do have good chicken wings.
Sports bar and restaurant.
Yeah.
They had FIM Motocross on one of the big screens.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I looked at it and said, well, I'm going to go sit where I can sit and watch that.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea who any of the people racing were.
Yeah, because...
And you could tell that the guys typing or doing the autos thing for the closed caption, because they weren't playing the sound, it was at least 30 seconds behind the action. I'd read something and look, well, that happened like a minute ago.
Yeah, that happens sometimes, especially because they're trying to figure out. The guy's typing and stuff, or the computer program doesn't recognize the names, and they use all these words that don't really exist in the English language.
Yeah, it was funny. To read what was going on and trying to line up with what was happening on the race was hilarious.
I did find a new shop near my – well, not a new shop. New shop to me near my new house. That sells like motorcycle stuff and everything like that. So I got to go in there and probably drop a little bit of money and stuff, you know, that leather vest and stuff like that. So not too close. So that was good. I did a little exploring of my new neighborhood, this
About
week.
Time.
Yeah. I've been mainly working on the house and I decided, who really needs a bathroom? So I took a little bit of time off. No, I have a bathroom. Dirk is looking at me like, I just bought that store. So, anyways.
You are not allowed in here anymore.
You cannot come back. Thank you. Come again. Send your hate mail to Ken at ntnradio.com.
No soup for you.
He will take care of that. Warren, you got any news for us?
Well, yeah, I thought that today would be a good day to catch up on things that we've been talking about for a few months, but things have happened since then.
Yeah, if it's all news, I don't really want to hear about it.
Well, you know, things like we talk about lane splitting.
Yeah,
and we talked about the Waco stuff.
Are you going to talk about that fake? I don't want to talk about Waco on the show ever again.
Well, there is one kind of interesting development.
There isn't.
Yeah, there is.
There really isn't.
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you anyway.
Most of the stuff you read is fake.
Well, this comes from the Waco Times or whatever the local paper is there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The judge for the trial has appointed a detective of the Waco Police Department to be the jury foreman for the grand jury.
Good.
And he's also the same one that produced the gag order, so no one could talk about it.
Good. I'm glad. You didn't also mention how all the media you've been giving it and everything has been lying, and that only 23 people are being held, and the rest of them all got out on reduced bail, if any bail at all.
Now,
but we don't talk about the facts.
I mentioned that last time.
So I'm done with Waco. It's banned from the show. Done. I don't care what happens there.
Well, let's talk about lane splitting then.
Are you going to talk about the phony study done at like UC Berkeley?
Well, that wasn't phony. It was real. But the California...
It was a study on lane splitting by people who don't ride. Brought to you by college kids who don't ride. But yeah, go ahead.
But it was statistically correct. But, we talked about how a bunch of different states, Nevada, Oregon, Texas, California, Virginia, and Arizona all tried to do lane splitting laws this year. Well, none of them went anywhere.
Good. Lane splitting's dangerous.
It is, yeah. I wouldn't do it, but I'm not opposed for them to, if they want to pass the law, that's up to the state.
Because every time somebody gets hit lane splitting, my insurance goes up.
Or does it go down when you don't get rear-ended?
Huh?
Or does it go down when you don't get rear-ended?
You know, no, but it keeps going, you know, it's like, because, oh my gosh, there's more crashes, there's more of this. You know, here's why I say the Berkeley study's fake. Do they have real numbers and everything? But they're like, their statistics are showing how bikers are less likely to get hurt when lane splitting at a proper speed. Okay, right. Which is 10 miles an hour over what traffic is moving and stuff. But yes, in stop-and-go traffic, bikers, it's very rare that somebody, you know, most of the time in stop-and-go traffic like that, when guys are lane splitting, they get bumped, people get bumped and knocked off the bikes. The number of accidents is higher than the number of injuries.
Well, not according to the statistics, but, you know, there's statistics and there's lies and there's damn lies.
You know, there's statistics.
Vice versa.
Yes, there's statistics that want, you can make statistics say anything you want.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the problem I have with all those things. And listen, well, if you're a listener and you do lane splitting,
be careful.
Have fun. You know what? I mean, listen, if, you know, I don't agree with the guys who go out there and pop wheelies at 90 miles an hour on interstates, you know, because I like living. If you like the rush, I'm not going to stop you. But when you die, I'm not going to have a memorial ride for you either.
No.
You know, I mean, I know that's a dick thing to say. Durka just looked at me like that's a dick thing to say. But it's like you're doing stuff that's intentionally dangerous. You know, I'm going to hijack the show for a minute. Did you hear what William Shatner did this week? Is that in your news?
Hey, riding his trike across Route 66.
Yeah, but the important part of that?
I haven't heard anything beyond that.
Oh, see, that's why we got to teach Warren to be a reporter, not a repeater. But but he did it without a helmet the entire ride. Went through a bunch of states without it and everything and taunted the cops whether to come and get him.
Well, they should have.
They should have. But they all thought this was like some kind of joke in a movie thing. Like all the police departments, because his PR people calling up saying, William Shatner's riding through your jurisdiction with no helmet. You should go arrest him.
They should have.
You know, but they were like, yeah, whatever. Should we bring our film crew? They all thought it was like jokes and stuff.
Well, I know that.
But to me, that's completely irresponsible. I don't care if you're for or against helmet laws. If that's the law of the state you're riding in,
you should do it.
You know, everybody says, you know, I hate saying this because I just banned Waco from the show, but people in Waco, they all got arrested because of these bad reputations. Well, here you go. You got people going out there intentionally breaking the laws and intentionally bringing that bad reputation to the rest of us who don't have that bad reputation. You know, that's like if I walk into a bar and I punch Durka in the face, everybody's going to say, man, rednecks don't like Durka.
They're going to say that you go to the University of Florida.
And something like that. But, you know, I mean, so it's kind of like,
it's a scofflaw. He's flaunting the police. That's not good.
Right. He did that. And the lane splitting thing, it was a study done by a bunch of people who don't ride.
Which should make it more relevant.
Because it actually makes it worse because they don't understand anything about riding. It's like the person who sits there and says, loud pipes should be banned. Loud pipes do save lives. If you ride, you know that when you hit the gas, that guy in a car that doesn't hear you all of a sudden can hear you.
Or feel you if you got the right kind of pipes I do.
You know, so there's that. There's actually value to that. You know, but to these people who say lane splitting, you've been in traffic. People change lanes all the time. You get caught in that stuff
I don't want. And now I that
it's,
do it.
Now that it's legal, who's at fault at that?
But it's not. I made a legal lane change, and
this guy tried to pass me while I was doing it.
That's what I was going to try to get at. It's not legal. California was the only one that made it out of any of the legislatures.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It is legal. It's not legal in California, but it's not illegal either.
Right.
It's status quo for that. In Oregon, Nevada, and Texas, Oregon, Texas, and Virginia, it made it nowhere. And Virginia, you know, they tried to do a petition on change.org. It only got 3,300 people to sign on the petition. So it absolutely went nowhere.
You know,
In Arizona, they passed it in the House, passed it in the Senate, and the governor vetoed it. So that's the closest it got anywhere.
Yeah, you know, I know a lot of people are like, lane splitting, but, you know, some Harleys, that's almost 3 feet wide.
Yeah, I couldn't do it on my big
bike.
Right,
you couldn't do it on your dresser.
No.
Yeah, you know. All of a sudden, you know, so now it's young guys, and nobody does just the 10 miles an hour over going it. Or maybe even if they do, I don't imagine we have anybody out there, maybe we do have listeners out there, that actually don't own a car and have never driven a car and only rode motorcycles. But most of us have done both.
Yeah.
Most of us do both on a regular basis. And the bottom line is you know yourself as a rider. I know myself. I can lose bikes in my mirrors. Now,
do it all the time.
I do it all the time. I have a good guess of where they are because I think where I would be, you know, if I see somebody and he moves, I said, okay, you know, he might have moved here, he might have moved there. But, you know, I'm totally against lane splitting. If you do it, I'm not saying you're an idiot. I'm just saying you don't value your life that well or your bones or your whatever.
Yeah, well, and the New York State Police, not State Police, the New York City Police set up a sting operation to catch lane splitters a few mm-hmm. weeks ago. Did you
yeah,
may have seen
it.
That on YouTube or something, but for those of you who didn't, they intentionally caused a traffic jam. Just stopped traffic on one of the biggest, busiest roads in New York City and just waited for motorcycles to come flying or rolling up through the traffic to get to the front of the problem. And when they appeared at the front of the rows of traffic, they pulled them off to the side, wrote them a ticket. And on a couple of them, they actually impounded the bikes because the guys had multiple tickets or were driving without license.
Yeah.
So,
I'm just, I don't know.
Don't pay attention to lane splitting. Just do drive where you're supposed to according to your state. That's the politically correct thing to say.
Find alternative routes. You know, when I'm on my bike, I don't like riding on roads that would do that anyways. I've never used it as a commuter. never have commuted on my bike.
I've done it a lot. At times I wish I was could lane split because, especially when you got an air-cooled engine.
Yeah, no, hey, listen, I can't, well, probably yeah. Durka, but I think we've all had our bikes all out at Daytona Bike Week because it overheated because you're sitting there not moving anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, but except Durka because he has women with fans come up and fan the bike while he's sitting there in traffic. But you know, I mean, it's just one of those things. I don't agree with. I think that's one of the things that
I guess where you and I slightly differ is I don't like it. I don't agree with it, and don't think you should do it. But if the state passes a law and everyone agrees to it, all right, go ahead and do it. But
yeah, I think that's
so far.
I think
no
that opens the state up for liability. I think that'll be repealed the first time a guy gets killed and his family sues the state for making it legal. So
it's quite possible. All right. Well, new subject, old subject. Marlon Brando's motorcycle.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about it a few weeks ago. How it was going to go for auction and people thought it was going to sell for between $200,000 and $500,000.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think it actually sold for?
$14.
No, a little bit more than that.
$25,000.
$256,000.
Yeah.
I could go, I mean, how many great bikes could you buy for that? And he only rode it for 13,000 miles. Just because his butt sat on the seat is why that bike went for so much.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Celebrity-owned vehicles. I know a guy who overpaid for Bill Cosby's cars like a year before all the stuff about Bill Cosby came out. His car went from like worth 180 to like 40. I was like, that's funny.
What was it?
A Porsche. And I also know the people that bought his Cadillac. You know, he had a classic Cadillac. I just crack up about it.
Oh,
but,
my gosh.
But, you know, that's stardom, you know. Hey, that's a cool story to tell when you're at the bike show. That's a cool story to tell when you're, you know, hanging out at the bar with your friends. It's a cool, you know, I mean, you're not spending $250,000 on a bike you go to ride around and do a 2,500 mile trip on.
You can lane split with it.
You're not going to lane split with that. You're going to take that bad boy and you're going to drive it, you know, you're going to drive it to the bar, or take it to a bike show, enter it in there with a picture of Marlon Brando on it and blah, 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 and win some trophies and get all these people looking at it and some scantily clad chicks get their picture taken on it. And that's why you buy that bike. And you're not hurting for money if you can buy a bike.
If you can buy
it
for a bike like that, you're definitely not hurting for money.
So that's not going to be a bike that, you know, you or I will ever buy. Well, Durka might.
Yeah, Durka could buy two of those probably. But,
yeah, you know, he'd be like, I give you that in spare change.
Yeah, if I was going to buy a celebrity's motorcycle, I'd probably go for one that actually rides, like, you know, Steve McQueen or somebody like that. But, and I don't think Steve McQueen's mics went for as much as Brando's. Of course, Brando was a bigger star, so.
Yeah, and right. It's probably, I would like to know whether the person who bought it actually has a motorcycle endorsement.
I never even thought about that.
You know, I've seen that.
It's probably 50-50.
I used to have a business where I transported motorcycles and custom cars around, right? And I used to go to some of the big auctions and stuff, you know, these celebrity auctions like the Meekum auction, Barrett Jackson and stuff. And I saw guys buy collectible motorcycles and, you know, I'd say to them, all right, hey, you got to ride around for something? No, I don't know how to ride. I don't have a motorcycle license. But they were buying these custom bikes to put in their garage, and they were buying these custom bikes to show off and have trail it around and have other people do things with. So I'd say the odds are probably 50-50 whether or not the guy has a license or not.
I wish I had the stupid money to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh well.
I pass.
If I could be Durka, I'd have my whole garage filled full of gold plated motorcycles.
Something like that.
Gold and silver.
That's what I would do.
At Christmas time, I put tinsel. You know, have, you know, scanty clad models come out. But
I wouldn't do it. I'd have my servants do it. But what else you got? You got any new news, Warren?
Well, I got based on the direction of the producer, I got a short one that I can do.
Well, we know that, but go ahead, give us a short one.
E15 ethanol gasoline.
Yes, we're very much against it.
Very much against it, and so is the AMA. So yes. Is all the people who have anything to do with it. Well, one of the states has stepped up and said, enough of this. The state of Hawaii, beginning December 31st, is banning ethanol, period, in their gasoline. No more ethanol in their gasoline.
Really?
Yeah. They said that it costs too much to make for the value you get out of it, you know, into the gasoline. It costs too much to bring it to Hawaii so they can put it into the gasoline. And it causes too much damage in the cars. Once they get it in the gasoline.
I mean, I got to imagine, nothing's cheap. Hawaii is...
Nothing's cheap there.
When I went to Hawaii, right, everybody else that was in the hotel and stuff was complaining about the prices. I'm from Long Island. They were okay. Sometimes a little high. But, you know...
Everything's imported.
Everything's imported. You know, your cars are imported. Your gasoline's imported. Your ethanol, your corn to make your ethanol or your imported ethanol. So... yeah, it's probably causing a whole bunch of things. It's not like Hawaii got the room to have a bunch of junkyards, and I'm pretty sure the EPA would not like you throwing old junk cars and motorcycles and lawnmowers and riding tractors and stuff like that in the volcano to get rid of them.
No.
You know, so it would be effective. Durka's like, that's a genius idea.
That's one way to recycle.
I don't know why Hawaiians don't put all their trash in a truck and just drive it in there and let it go, you know, or dump it on there.
Maybe they do. We just don't know about it.
If they do, I totally want to be a garbage man in Hawaii.
That's our landfill.
You know, I mean, I would totally love that. But, you know, it's like, I can see that. I'm actually surprised as we'll say something. I'm trying to think what's the word without being offensive to people. I don't really.
Well,
they're a very left-leaning state, and usually left-leaning states go with.
Well, they're very liberal.
Yeah, they're very liberal. They usually go with that. Go with the ethanol. Oh, that's going to save the planet. The planet's dying anyways, folks. Yeah. Screw it.
One thing I hope is that because Hawaii stepped up to do this, some other states will step up and follow suit.
Yeah, it would be nice. I'm not going to hold my breath, but it would be nice.
All right, folks. When we get back, we got a couple other stories to talk about, and then we're going to hit the racing. Some good stuff happened this weekend. So stick around. We'll be right back. Hey folks, welcome back to Doghouse, and join us on our Twitter page at Doghouse Radio if you get a chance. So, Phil.
Uh-oh.
When you think of iconic things.
A what?
Iconic.
Iconic things.
Things. You know, like the American Bald Eagle or something like that. When it comes to motorcycling, what do you think is iconic in the United States?
In the United States?
Now, I'm going to get you started.
Probably the crappy Harley Shield.
That's iconic, yes, but the Harley-Davidson motorcycles is probably the most iconic motorcycle-related thing in the United States.
Unfortunately, yes.
And I'm going to classify iconic as something that every motorcyclist would
recognizes,
and a lot of the non-motorcyclists probably recognize
right. I mean,
well.
That's why I would say the Harley stuff, is because even people who don't know, who don't ride and stuff, everybody seems to know the Harley logo.
Yes.
Everybody's heard of a Harley. It's like the McDonald's of motorcycles. Yeah.
And every motorcycle that goes by is a Harley Davidson.
No, just the ones leaking oil. But that's for our other level.
Okay. And then the next solid mechanical, okay, Sturgis. Probably even
I wouldn't say Sturgis as much as Daytona.
I think Sturgis does, because he gets a lot more press on TV. And
it
you
does.
Don't see,
maybe
you don't see
now,
shows on Daytona, you see shows.
It does now. I would say,
but we're
10
talking
years
about
ago.
Now.
Yeah, but I would say 10 years ago that most of the people who didn't ride didn't know what Sturgis was. I'd say even now, if you polled it, it'd be under 50% of the people that don't know ride know what Sturgis is.
Well, I'm thinking
where
about
Daytona it. Bike yeah. Week, everybody knows Daytona Bike Week.
Well, I'm not sure that's true today, but maybe a while back it was.
No, you know, Daytona's just more famous for everything. There's one thing that happens in Sturgis, South Dakota, and that's, you know, Bike Week. Mm-hmm. You know, but most people, I would
if
say,
if you say Daytona Beach, they're going to think the beach, not motorcycles.
No, when you tell somebody I'm going to Daytona, it's one of three questions: spring break, the race, or Bike Week.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the way they act, and I would say
Daytona's more famous for the race, the NASCAR race, than it is for Bike Week. That's for sure.
I don't know. Maybe because that gets more television play.
It does.
But Daytona Bike Week is, I would say it's probably more famous than Sturgis.
Yeah, I had Daytona further down on my list, because I'm only looking at what are the top five iconic American motorcycle things, and I had Sturgis as number two. And then for number three, I put Rolling Thunder, because people know what it is. But then I started thinking, well, do they? You know, you get outside the D.C. area, you get outside the Northeast and the Southeast. I don't know how much people know
it's
about
just
it past Mississippi.
Yeah, it's just a passing thing in, like, USA Today that they read about. Yeah.
So I'm
around
not sure
here
it's, so
where
is it iconic? To motorcyclists, it is. But is it to the general public?
No, I would not say that. To baggers and veteran motorcyclists, it is. The bagger riders.
Man, there's
and stuff.
There's as many sport bikes in that ride as there is.
No. You haven't been in a long time.
Just a couple of years ago.
I can show you 2 years ago's video of the entire event and count on mine and Durka's 40 fingers the amount of sport bikes. Are there 1,000 sport bikes? Yeah, there, but 99% of the bikes there are cruisers. There might be some Yamahas and stuff like that.
I'm saying there are more cruisers for sure. More cruisers, more baggers, but there are a significant number of sport bikes.
No, I mean, if you do the math, it's less than a percent. Less than a percent of the, I'd
nah,
say,
I think you're, I think we're
if,
disagreeing
if it's a
on
thousand,
that one.
If it's 1,000 bikes, it's still a third of a percent.
I think it's more than 1,000. But
okay, if it's 3,000 bikes, which I don't think it is, it's 1%.
Because
none of the sport bike clubs here go to it. We have some of the largest sport bike clubs in the country around the nation's capital, and they don't go to it in force. You don't see any of the, you don't see any sport bike clubs. It's iconic to veteran riders, veteran clubs. It's iconic to some of the pure Harley guys
right,
that
so we can,
go.
So we can. But I kind of agree with you that it's not.
But,
so
but it's also. But it's not
off.
Something. It's not something that the average lady. If you ask the average lady walking down the street in Cleveland, Ohio, she might not know what it is.
Probably not.
That's what, she would know what a Harley was, and she would know what Daytona Bike Week was.
Well, I think she'd know what Sturgis is as well.
Probably not. I guess
so. That's where you and I are disagreeing on that.
We're going to send Durka to Cleveland, Ohio.
Let's send Durka next door to the sandwich shop and see if they know.
Durka, go next door to the sandwich shop.
If they know
Sturgis
what Sturgis is. And then ask him what Daytona is.
Come on. No.
No, he's chickening out.
He does not like the Spanish people. So, anyways. But you know what? I'll tell you what. You do a poll.
I'll do where I work. There's, you know.
Yeah, do a poll. Don't lead them.
No,
but I guarantee more people will know Daytona Bike Week than Sturgis Bike Week. But go ahead. What else you got?
And then I came up with Daytona as my fourth one. And then I didn't have anything past that. I could not think of anything that would be something that all motorcyclists
would
know.
I wouldn't put Sturgis in. I would say if you told me what the five most iconic things in motorcycling in the United States were.
That other people outside motorcycling actually know
Harley
as well.
Davidson, Evel Knievel.
Oh, Evel Fonzie. Knievel. Evel Knievel. Yeah.
Fonzie.
I don't think anybody associates motorcycle with Fonzie.
Everybody, the leather jacket, he always rode the Triumph Fonzie.
That was
it's the beginning of
only.
Happy Days.
Yeah. Possibly Fonzie, but that's stretching it.
I would say Fonzie. I would say, definitely Evel Knievel more than anybody
else. I don't know
how
I left Evel Knievel off.
More than the bike weeks, because Evel Knievel was on TV all the time.
Yeah, Wild World of Sports.
Wild World of Sports lived off of Evel Knievel and his Kathy Lee. Nobody would know who Kathy Lee, what was it, Kathy Lee?
Gifford,
but I think she was Kathy Lee Crosby at the time, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you wouldn't know who she was if it wasn't for Evel Knievel trying to jump crazy stuff.
Well, Evel Knievel made a lot of people. He did. He made a lot of people famous.
And I would say that, you know, it's a shame motorcycle racing here. We have great motorcycle racing between Supercross. Yeah. I would say maybe Supercross might make that. Supercross has a huge following.
No, it does within the motorcycle world, but I actually, before I started watching racing because of you guys, I knew Supercross because I've been around motorcycles. But when I asked my wife about, said, you want to watch some Supercross this evening so I can talk about it on the show next week? She said, what's Supercross?
You should have divorced her. But
I don't think Supercross would fall into that category.
I think it gets enough television coverage that people might know.
If it was on ESPN, I would agree with
you. Fox Sports 1 is pulling pretty good ratings.
It is, but not anywhere near ESPN.
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't say Sturgis is iconic. To people outside of the bike community.
I think you need a blood test to make just find out what's wrong
because,
with you on that.
No, because you're going off of these crappy shows on TV stations that have less than, 200,000 viewers.
Discovery's huge.
The Discovery Channel's ratings are falling through the roof. Pretty soon they're going to be down there with NBC. They're just tanking. They're still ahead of MSNBC.
You don't like watching sharks eat people and otters?
I do.
And seals?
I do like going by the building and seeing the big sharks swimming through.
Did they
the
put
building.
That up this year?
I sent a letter to the people I know at Discovery Channel, and I told them, hey, you should actually have blood dripping out of the shark's mouth. Put some lights up so it looks like blood's dripping out. They thought that was a bad idea.
And then the very last thing I had on my list, and your head's going to explode when I say this. Durka's might, but I know for sure yours will.
Well, here's the other thing I will say that's iconic and that you missed. Hell's Angels.
Yes, that's a good one.
I don't think there's anybody in the country that doesn't know
they,
what
they
the
know
Hell's
what
Angels
motorcycles
is.
Are.
They,
we know
they
what could, they are.
I don't know if they can name another club, but they all can name the Hell's Angels.
No, probably not.
I would say them, Evel Knievel, and Harley are probably the three biggest iconic things.
And then the last one I came up with, and I debated this, putting it on a list, but then I started looking at newspapers, and I did a quick Google search, and I was surprised at how many places it came up as Orange County Choppers.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I think it has reached the iconic state because it's been around for more than 20 years, or almost 20 years, in some form or another. It's been on TV. People know the Tuttles. They may not know what they do, but they know who they are.
If it wasn't for Walmart, it wouldn't have. But the Walmart merchandising deal they had...
did them a huge thing.
Did them a huge thing, and did Discovery Channel a huge thing, and pushed it out. And at one time, they were one of the top. They were the top reality show on TV, and they were making big bucks.
I thought you would go apoplectic.
I can't disagree with that. Listen, I'm not happy saying I think the Hells Angels is the most recognizable motorcycle club on the planet, more so than anything Rolling Thunder or anything like that. I mean, you know, so
I don't know how I left Il Knievel and the Hells Angels off my list.
Well, that's because you're just a rube. They have a fighting word. See, and you know he's a rube because he didn't come over and punch me. No, well, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I know what you drive, though.
Yeah, and no, I'll flat tires tonight.
I'm good with explosives.
That's all right. Listen, if you go blow something up, may I recommend my house?
All right, so we got Harley Davidson, debate between Sturgis and Daytona.
I don't think
Durka will not settle by going next door.
You know what? During the next break, I will run to the next store if you want. I think the Hells Angels and the Hells Angels logo might be as recognizable as Harley.
No.
Yes.
No. As recognizable as Evil Knievel.
Oh, I don't know about that, but definitely as recognizable as Harley.
And Evil Knievel, and then the OCC is what we came up with. And the others got discounted for one reason or another.
Yeah.
Because they're either not well known by everybody else.
You know, when Ken gets back, I want to have a discussion with him about the difference between American motorcycle race fans and the American public view on motorcycle racing versus
European.
The European and the Australian and every place else in the world. One thing in America we do is we seem to root against our own people. You know, and Ken's one of them. You know, I mean, Ken hates everybody. You know, and it's like I was watching MotoGP this week, you know, and Rossi took the lead, and there were all these Italians there over in Germany watching, and the place goes wild, and the Rossi fans go wild, and Marquez takes the lead, you know, and the Spanish crowds go wild, you know, and it's like we get over here, and it's like, oh, we'd rather somebody else win than an American, you know. I don't know. To me, that's kind of sucky, but yeah, I would say those would be my top four, and I don't know if there's anything else iconic in motorcycle.
Yeah, that's why I struggled after I got the first three or four, but then you added a couple to my list. So.
Yeah, I mean, I would, Fonzie, I'd say maybe Fonzie. Everybody knew Fonzie as a biker.
Well, I would say maybe 20 years ago that'd be a true statement, but, you know, I doubt my daughter, who's 20 years old right now, knows who Fonzie is.
If she doesn't, you're a bad father. I mean, you did not raise her good.
I know my grandkids.
Sunday, Monday, happy days.
But I know my grandkids don't know who Fonzie is.
You know, I would used to say that about the Dukes of Hazzard, and then the channel TV pulled them off. You know, if your kids don't know who the Dukes of Hazzard are, you never let them skip school and fake being sick.
Yeah.
You know.
All right, well, that's all I got for tonight. Do you got something you want to talk about?
I got a ton of stuff that's actually new news instead of wasting our time on that old crap. I don't like old stuff. Old stuff is for newspapers.
We need updates every now and then.
No, we don't. Old stuff's for newspapers. Does the name Declan Tromley ring a bell?
Declan Tromley.
Yes.
Oh, I can't say that it does.
All right. He's a 3-year-old in Nova Scotia who actually got a ticket for riding his plastic motor scooter into a no parking zone by a ferry loading thing. It's all over Instagram. It's all over Facebook. It's all over Twitter. And they actually did give him a ticket, but there was actually no writing on it. So what that did prove is the 3-year-old is smart enough to ride a motorcycle, and the cops aren't smart enough to write. So we got a good thing there. You can send your hate mail to Ken at ntnradio.com if you're a law officer that knows how to write. Prove it and tell off Ken. I talked a little bit about the Shatner ride, which was 2,500 miles. He was supposed to do it on this bike.
The Rivet, right. Some kind of trike that looked futuristic and was kind of cool looking.
Yeah, it was kind of cool looking, but they found out it couldn't turn. Who builds a bike that can't make a turn?
Are you kidding me?
No, that's why he rode a Harley Davidson trike across the country, is because the other bike would not turn.
Are you?
I cannot believe that. Damn it.
That's the first time I've ever done that on the show.
Yes.
I can't believe they built up this motorcycle, this trike, this Rivet bike so much over the last few months. You saw it everywhere. Facebook, Instagram. Mm-hmm. You saw it in the newspaper. USA Today had it in their thing.
And he didn't ride it because he couldn't make a turn. It would only drive in straight lines.
Holy crap.
Well, that just shows you what happens when you don't, you know. I actually met a guy who bought a bike who asked these guys to build him a custom chopper during the big custom chopper phase, and he had the cash to do it. He put down 50 grand at Bike Week. went home, flew down to Texas, had all me shipped down all his buddies' bikes to go riding. He got on the bike, rode it a mile and a half, brought it back, said, I got to sell this thing. Anybody give me 15 grand for it? They just signed over a check for 50 for it because he didn't specify he wanted suspension. And the idiot's building the $100,000 bike down in Texas, and I will leave it at that. Build him a hardtail. It's a 50-year-old guy. You're an idiot. You know, he should have bought that company and fired all those people. But
there's no way I could ride it. I ride all the time. There's no way I could ride a hardtail
today. Right, exactly. You know, I mean, who even builds it? Someone's giving me $100,000 to put suspension in it. You're still going to make money.
Yeah, a lot.
You know, so that's just my thought. Durka, you're looking at me like you're mad. So I want to talk about El Chapo.
Nah.
El Chapo is? Does anybody know? Do you guys not have Google? Do you not read the news?
He's the drug lord that escaped out of a Mexican prison.
Yes! Joaquin Guzman escaped from the Altiplano Maximum Security Prison in somewhere's Mexico. Did you hear how he did it?
With a tunnel.
Did you hear what was in the tunnel?
A motorcycle engine.
On rails. Instead of the old laundry cart out the tunnel thing, this thing was pretty much a motorcycle built on rails. You get in it, nail the throttle, and go for the mile to pop out the end of the tunnel. A good job, security guards, not noticing a mile-long tunnel being dug.
Oh, you know for a fact they were in on it.
Somebody was bribed. But yes, he did escape on a motorcycle. First prison break we've ever reported about on a motorcycle. Rode the motorcycle underneath the prison.
I can just imagine the conversation of the guards bringing the motorcycle in. So, okay.
No. I think they rolled it up the tunnel and left it there for him, and he just got down there and popped him. Woo! You know. I do believe they say that you could hear through echoing out of the hole, brap! You know, so he was good to go. Dirk is looking at me like I'm all screwed up. But, you know, I thought that was kind of an interesting story. I like that because, you know, I mean, that's entertainment, and then that's you know, that's balls. How you gonna escape? I'm doing a motorcycle. I'm gonna
ride my bike right out of my prison cell to freedom.
The only thing that'd make that better if it was like custom painted and a couple of, and it might have been. We haven't seen pictures.
Yeah, I haven't seen a picture.
Would not be surprised if it was like custom painted. Maybe had, you know, like a flag on it.
El Chapo.
Yeah, El Chapo with the quotes around it. You know, that'd be kind of cool. So I watched a video. Somebody posted a video to my page, and I was watching this video. And what I've learned is if you live in King County, Washington, and you know a guy, Eugenio Sirocco, don't steal any of his friend's bikes. Because he pulled up to his friend's house, and as he's like getting there, he sees a guy jump on one of his friend's bikes and takes off on it. Stealing.
We're stolen right in front of him.
Stolen right in front of him. So he chased him down. Got up next to him. When he got next to him, he just kicked him over. That guy did a header into the curb. Bike kind of slid. It had a little bit of damage, but wasn't gone. You know what I mean? And the criminal had a broken wrist and some bruises and stuff like that.
A little bit of road rash.
And the cops didn't arrest Mr. Sirocco, which I'm glad.
They didn't arrest him.
They did not but now there's a bunch of libtards out there. I mean, liberals. Out there saying, well, that guy used deadly force to prevent a motorcycle crash. This theft, he should be arrested. No, he did the right thing. I don't know, you know, I mean.
Are you just making that last part up?
No.
You got to be making that up.
No, they are really
trying. So they wanted to let the guy who stole the bike go free, but the guy who's prevented his buddy's bike from being stolen, they want to arrest.
He should be arrested for using deadly force. I don't think he was using deadly force. If he was using deadly force, he would have hit him with a bat or something.
Did he have a concussion or, you know?
No, the guy had a broken wrist. You know,
was he wearing a helmet?
Maybe you could arrest him on depriving the other guy part of his sex life. You know, something like that.
Well, because he should be in jail.
But that's about it. But, you know, right. And in jail, he's had the other way to get sex. So, and that guy probably deserves it because you shouldn't steal bikes. That's just wrong. So, anyways, Durka, let's push out the break a little bit early. We got some motorcycle racing to talk about. When we come back, we're going to talk a little pro flat track in Indianapolis at the Indy Mile. We're going to talk some MotoGP at Sachsenring. The motocross did not race, but we do have a little bit of motocross, supercross news, kind of, so to speak. And we got a big weekend coming up. So you are listening to The Doghouse here on NTNRadio.com. We'll be right back. And we're back here on the Doghouse on NTNRadio.com. I don't care about our Twitter and Facebook anymore. I don't care if you go to it or not. Download the show. That's all I really care about. Or watch it on YouTube. We are on YouTube. NTN. Search NTN America or Doghouse on NTN. Comes right to us. So do that. This week we had a little bit of racing. Warren, did you get to watch the flat track?
No, I did not watch the flat track. I got to watch MotoGP and Moto2. That's okay. All I got to watch this weekend.
So I watched the flat track. I actually watched it this morning on FansChoice.tv on their tape delay because red flags just kill me trying to watch things live. I'm sorry. I'm just that kind of guy. A lot of red flags. They had a horrible one. Horrible, horrible crash early in the race. Sean Bayer had a really bad wreck, but got up and walked away. I'm shocked that he got up and walked away. It was that bad of a crash.
What did he do? Run into the fence or something?
Yeah, he lost it in the soft dirt, and he hit the fence, and then he, like, flipped over. I don't know how some of the other guys didn't hit him. He flipped over, and the way he, like, kind of landed on his head, and he was at first slumped in a pile. And I thought, oh, crap. But then he kind of started moving around and stuff. So I said, whoo, I think he was lights out for a little bit there.
He had to do a system reboot.
Yeah, he did, right. He did that reboot and, you know, he got up and they did an interview with him. So he was functional and stuff. He's going to be sore. He's sore today. He was sore yesterday. He'll be sore for a while. And then they actually had three red flags. There was a lot of crashing in the race. But it actually turned out to be a pretty good race. Brad the Bullet Baker picked up his second win of the season. Brian Smith came in second. Jared Meads came in third. That was a really good battle. Even with the three red flags, those guys kind of battled a lot. Brad the Bullet Baker on these big mile tracks, he loves that outside line, it seems like, and he's fast at it, you know. A lot of times on the mile tracks, you go in and you cut it really tight, and then you come out and you draft down the straightaway. Yeah. He's hanging it way out there, so they're coming out two and three wide. And then
as well as he's doing, I'm surprised no one else is doing it with him.
Yeah, a couple guys went out there, but they weren't as fast as him. I'm not sure what he's discovered out there, but he's found something in the loose, or he's just got a little more huevos.
I would say that, and maybe got an extra horsepower, too.
Yeah, you know, or he's got a little huevos, you know. a little extra coconuts there. You know, and he came into out of the last turn second, but, you know, with the drafting there and stuff, he broke the draft, went out there and flew by him. And actually, Jared Meads was leading to the last turn. And on those mile tracks, you don't want to be leading going into the last turn with the guy right behind you. Because Baker went by and Meads went by. You know, so it was an entertaining race. You know, I like them. I really like the short track ones because they get more side and, you know, they kick up more stuff.
Yeah,
and
it's a lot more fun to watch.
Yeah, but the mile tracks is good racing, you know. I mean, that's something that when you watch it, it's just really good racing.
Now, I saw something maybe two or three weeks ago I meant to bring up on the show, but we got sidetracked on something that I had not seen before. It's flat track inside, but it's like super small.
Yeah.
It's indoor, super small, like it's, you know, hockey rink size.
Yeah.
And I had not seen that one before.
Yeah, they have that. You know, that's bigger over in Europe and stuff.
Well, this was in California.
But California has a lot of it. It's called Speedways.
Yes, that's what
it was. Motorcycles. Yeah, that's cool. That's actually like flat tracks without brakes. You know, flat track motorcycles barely have brakes. Speedways don't.
And this dirt that they're supposed to look on look more like concrete than it did dirt.
Yeah, you know, because it's indoors and stuff, they truck in the dirt and stuff, you know, so it's not like the outdoor textures. But even when you get to, I don't know if you've ever been to a dirt track, right? But when you get to a dirt track, car racing or flat track racing, you know, they lay down rubber. They lose rubber on the tires, and you'll get black sections. Mm-hmm. When you walk across the track or when you're out there and you're, like, messing around with the track, I mean, when I was up at Hagerstown, you know me, I got to go out there and feel the texture of the track. And
roll around on
it. You know,
and
it's hard. It's hard. You know, you got to smell the dirt. You know, you can get into it. That stuff gets hard packed in there. You know, you get the rubber mixed in there, and it's like walking on a street, you know. But it's a little slick. So they get in there. And they pack it down, and the speedway bikes, they have a more pure mixture, you know, like when you do flat track, it's whatever your local dirt is. Hagerstown, mm-hmm. it's that red mud stuff. California, you get a little looser stuff. Some places have pea gravel, you know, and stuff like that. So that's the way it is. Speedway is kind of cool. You don't see it a lot over here.
I don't think I'd want to race on pea gravel. That would have to hurt.
They if do you're, that if in you're Frederick, in the back, on the back Frederick, end of Maryland. It's not so much it hurts those guys. It hurts being a spectator sometimes. Like, you stand there, you know who's been to it, because they stand there, they cover their beer as the bikes go around, and they kind of turn their backs. So it hits the leather jackets and stuff, you know. But, yeah, but Speedway's cool. I like Speedway. We'll talk a little bit about motocross before we get into MotoGP. I want to get into MotoGP a little bit. But the big news in motocross, there was no motocross this weekend, but Ryan Villopoto announced his retirement. Apparently his injury that he suffered a couple weeks ago was pretty serious.
Yeah.
Collapsed. It looked like it crushed some vertebrae and stuff like that, and you know,
he's another one of those that you says
at 26 he's gonna be walking like an old man now. You know, so I feel really bad for him. He was a great champion, will go down as a legend. You know, a lot of wins, consecutive championships, right, and stuff. You know, great rider. But that's what happens when you go to Europe.
And when I heard that he had retired, I went and looked at the video of the crash, and it's another one of those that, oh my God! And but he gets up fairly quickly, and you know, yeah, he's holding himself and everything. But
he was hurt. It was a mess. So you know, I'm glad that it wasn't more serious, but it was pretty serious. And hopefully, we'll see him do a Ricky Carmichael style thing where we'll see him on TV, or I don't know. He wasn't really a great TV personality, but I'm sure he can work at that. I don't see him doing, you know, I mean, I'm sure he'll have Ryan Villopoto. Maybe he'll start a team, or he'll definitely do the Ryan Villopoto Supercross, camps and stuff like that. But, you know, it's a shame our sports, you know, what the sport's losing him. But in the same aspect is once you leave Supercross and you go race in Europe, you're pretty much nothing anyway, you know.
You're starting from the bottom again.
Well, you know, it's there's no prestige in that. I mean, not to knock the European listeners, but Supercross here is a much higher level than it is over there. Motocross here, at least I think so. That's my opinion.
America.
You don't like it? If you don't like it, send your hate mail to Ken.
Ken at ntn.com.
ntnradio.com. Don't send it to the wrong Ken.
Well, did you also hear there's one of the our primary riders on our motocross is out for at least one race as well?
Oh, Adam Cianciarulo?
No, Will Hahn.
Will Hahn's always out for a race.
He's out for the...
I don't even like reporting on that. I like Will Hahn as a person. I like Will Hahn as a rider. I think Will Hahn should retire before he gets seriously hurt, because he's hurt all the time.
Yeah, he's hurt again. He's going to miss the next race.
And Adam Cianciarulo is out for the season because of his shoulder injury at the last race. And he's another one. He's, what, 18-year-old kid who's now missed... He's going to end up missing the better part of two seasons because of injuries and stuff. I mean, it's a dangerous and it's a tough sport. You know, and part of you got to say when's when. You know,
when's enough enough?
Yeah, it's like Trey Kinnard. I love Trey Kinnard. He should retire before something bad happens to him, because he's been as close as you can get it several times.
Yeah, this last one was pretty bad, so...
You know, so I kind of hope, well, I don't hope, but I mean, I hope Cianciarulo gets better. I hope Will Hahn gets better, but, you know, it's a dangerous sport, and some of these guys, it seems to be once you get injured, once you get that bad injury, then you get injured a lot. And at that point, I think Ryan Villopoto is doing the right thing by walking away.
It's a cumulative thing. You know, it's, and plus, as you get older, it's harder to recover, even though you might be 26. Not the same as when you were 18.
Yeah, and you know, so he's taken his fair share of beatings. You know, so you know, the sport will miss him, but I'm sure he's going to show up on FX, you know, Supercross on Fox Sports 1 or whatever.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah,
I can't imagine he's not. This week the boys of MotoGP were over there in Sachsenring,
Germany.
In Germany there, and racing around a little bit. No surprise in Moto 3. Danny Kent pretty much walked away with it. I think he won by like a day and a half.
I saw the very end of that, so I don't know anything more than what you just said.
He got out front. There were good battles from, I believe it was third through like eighth was all pretty close, or maybe a little further. Might have been a little further back than that, maybe ninth. We're all really close battles with Bastianini, Fanati, Antonelli, Navarro, Binder, Masbu. It was all good battling, but Kent walked away with it. Efren Vasquez broke away from that other group, and those guys are doing it. You got Kent's leading the championship series by almost 70 points. Like 66 points. He's pretty much walked away with it.
He's got one hand on the trophy already.
Yeah, I pretty much expect him to get a ride in Moto 2 next year, move up. He's had a great season, and I don't see any reason why somebody wouldn't pick him up to throw him on a Moto 2 bike, especially with the way some of the guys in Moto 2 have been riding lately. In Moto 2...
I thought Moto 2 was some good racing up until the end.
Oh, you did not like seeing Javier Simón win?
No, I didn't mind him winning, and I thought that Zarco was giving him a good run, but Rabat and Morbidelli were making moves as well, but it didn't end well for either one of them.
Well, I think that's part of good racing. Those guys were pushing it to the limit, and then Morbidelli lost it, and he took out a kickstart Rabat.
Yeah, he did.
And, that's part of... Rabat was really pissed off, but it's part of racing. But here's my thing, Rabat. Be in the lead. If you're in the lead...
You're not going to happen.
You know, if you're out there, a couple seconds faster, if you're a second and a half faster,
He got pinched in real bad at the start. I mean, he...
Yeah, but he's the defending Moto2 champ.
He is, but... His position in the field didn't allow him to get a great start, and then he got pinched in the first turn because of where he started. And so I think he was in 12th at one point.
Yeah, I'm done with my pity parties on Rabat. One of the interesting things they said in the broadcast, and then I started Googling it and looking it up, and it's actually kind of true. There's rumors that were floating around about Sam Lowe's being looked at for a MotoGP ride.
They mentioned that on the broadcast.
Yeah. I'm not sure I agree with that.
Not based on his positioning in the races.
Yeah.
Maybe they see something, and maybe he's just on an inferior bike.
Maybe he brings a good sponsor with him.
Or he brings a good sponsor. Yeah, he's a Brit. I don't know.
Like, I could see Zarco moving up. I kind of don't see Rabat moving up. Maybe, but... If you didn't move up as the champ, I don't see you moving up, finishing second or third, wherever he's going to end up.
Yeah, I think he's in second now.
He's in second now, but I'm not sure he's going to hold on to there. But also, I don't see a lot of guys in Moto 2 that I would move up. Usually every year there's like three or four, and I go, oh, man, these three or four guys. And then, three of them move up and one has to stay or something like that. But that's not happening this year.
I've been watching Rins. I think he's riding really well on a bike that's not as good as Zarco and Rabat.
Yes, and he's the Moto 3 champ. It's his first year.
Yeah, so maybe not.
I think you're going to see Rins stay in at least one more year in Moto 2 because he started out bad. He started out inconsistent, and I think they're going to want to see what he's like the second time through the tracks. And I think the ride he gets offered now won't be as good as if he stays. And I think Rins has the potential to win a championship. I think next, if you told me right now my favorites to win the Moto 2 championship for next year, it'd be Rins right now.
Yeah, he's riding real well.
He's riding really well. Zarco has such a lead over everybody, and they don't do anything to help themselves out. Zarco's like 65 points out on these guys, and Rabat gets close, and then he gets DNF'd. Not to any fault of his own, it's racing.
Yeah, he got DNF'd again.
He got DNF'd again, and sometimes when you have those seasons, you have those seasons.
Yeah.
In MotoGP, that was kind of a very interesting race.
I don't think it was much of a race except for like fourth, fifth, and sixth.
Well, it wasn't to me. It was a race because Jorge Lorenzo jumped way out, and this was a tire management race. The Hondas were on the harder tire. They went with the stiffest compound they could, and the Yamahas didn't. And that surprised me because normally Rossi will go the hardest tire you can. So that kind of surprised me. And in the beginning of the race on the softer tires, you know, before they wore out, Lorenzo was fast.
He was.
And he was out there and he was leading. And Rossi was fast because he was, you know, he did his normal, Marquez, I'm not going to qualify good. And
yeah, but Marquez is right there with him, though. He was on the hard tire.
Yeah, and he was on the hard tire. And that's usually what happens, but usually you can put a gap on guys. And Lorenzo had a gap. At one time, Lorenzo had a gap. Not a huge gap.
Not much of one, but
he had a gap. And then Rossi came in and battled with Pedroza and stuff. And, you know, Marquez finally caught up and got past Lorenzo. And I think
it was lap 9 he took, something like that. He took the lead and never looked back.
Yeah, but he got a 2-second lead, but most of that came towards the end. When Pedrosa and Rossi were battling
second.
With about 8-9 laps to go, something like that.
7-8.
You know, so they were in that area where they were battling, and that tore up Rossi's tires to a point where
he had to
let Pedrosa go. You know,
I think he did two things. He couldn't compete anymore because of the tires, but he also realized, well, points for third is better than no points at all.
And points for third and finishing ahead of Lorenzo. You know, he picked up points on Lorenzo, and that's the important part to him right now. You know, and I think if Marquez is going to be strong, he's pretty far back there, but he's not so far back that Rossi can have bad races and win.
Right.
But if Rossi pulls seconds and thirds behind,
and now that he's had this new, the old chassis with the new engine,
yeah,
the last two races, he's looked very strong.
Yeah.
You know, he might have won the Assen race if they haven't touched.
Maybe.
And drove Rossi through.
Might have, would have, should have, could have. That's all racing.
It was really good race there.
And But I'll tell you what, I think had Rossi gone the harder tires, I think Rossi would have made it past Pedrosa, you know, battled past Pedrosa quicker.
Would have, could have, should have.
You know, so that's all that. But I think Marquez might be, if you had to say right now, if everybody stays healthy, Marquez might be the reason Rossi wins the championship and not Lorenzo. You know,
that's a good take.
You know,
that's a good take because
he's going to play spoiler in a lot of races. You know, he's going to get that win, and Lorenzo seems to eat his tires up trying to get away from Marquez and battling with Marquez. And if Rossi's just coming up and coming through or gets out there with them.
Well, Rossi has to win some races because if he just finishes second, third, and there's a good chance that Pedrosa could, if he could get a couple wins.
Not Pedrosa, Marquez.
Pedrosa
got no chance. I got more points than Pedrosa does.
I don't know why I said it. But you're right. Marquez still has a chance to get back in it. Rossi still has to run hard to win.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, they're at the halfway point in their season. So, you know, it's not an insurmountable lead.
No.
But, you know, I think Marquez will be the spoiler on Lorenzo. And I think that would be...
And what happened to the Ducatis? Dovi has DNF'd, what, the last two or three races?
Yeah.
And Iannone has finished okay, but not anywhere like you thought they were going to based on the way the bikes were forming.
They're in tracks that don't favor them. You know, right now they're not in the big tracks. But Circuit of the Americas is this huge track, and there's big straightaways. And those things kill everybody on the straightaways. You're in these tight little European tracks that are twisty turnies and short straightaways and stuff where that big power advantage on the back doesn't gain, you know. And Circuit of the Americas, it gained you enough speed so that when they passed you in the corners, you had enough speed that when they were catching you in the corners, you were evening out at the end of the lap. You're
not doing it now.
Because you don't have the speed, the straightaways. They got a couple other ones with big straightaways that'll do it. But you don't have the straightaways right now to do it. You're on the smaller tracks. Ducati, you know, we talked about that earlier in the season. Ducati's not going to be that strong in the shorter tracks, at least in my opinion. You know, I mean, you know, and he still had fifth place behind the Hondas and Yamahas, but, you know, he was behind the Hondas and Yamahas. Anyways, I guess that's about it for the day. We will wrap this show up. We'll be back next week. Stay tuned.